ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪೀಜನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ಗೋಪೀಜನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಏ ಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಅನಂತ ಕೋಟಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಗ್ರಂಥರಾಜ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ಡ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ಡ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಅಂಡ್ ಗೌರಾಂಗ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಗ್ರಂಥರಾಜ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟು 4 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 31 ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ 21 ನ ಭಜತಿ ಕುಮನೀಷಿಣಾಂ ಸ ಏಜ್ಯಾಂ ಹರೇರಧನಾತ್ಮಧನೋ ಪ್ರಿಯೋ ರಸಜ್ಞ ಆಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ಆಸ್ ಪಾಸಿಬಲ್ ಟ್ರೈ ಟು ರಿಸೈಟ್ ಇನ್ ಯುನಿಸನ್ ಶ್ರುತಧನಕುಲಕರ್ಮಣಾಮದಿರ್ಯೇ ವಿದಧಾತಿ ಪಾಪಂ ಅಕಿಂಚನೇಷು ಸತ್ಸು ನ ಭಜತಿ ಕುಮನೀಷಿಣಾಂ ಸ ಏಜ್ಯಾಂ ಹರೇರಧನಾತ್ಮಧನ ಪ್ರಿಯ ರಸಜ್ಞ ಶ್ರುತಧನಕುಲಕರ್ಮಣಾಂ ಮದೈರ್ಯೇ ವಿದಧಾತಿ ಪಾಪಂ ಅಕಿಂಚನೇಷು ಸತ್ಸು
ಶಿಲಾಂಗ
Ladies, please. Na, never. Bhajati, accepts. Kumanishinam, of persons with a dirty heart. Saha, he. Ijyam, offering. Harihi, the Supreme Lord. Adhana, to those who have no material possessions. Atmadhana, simply dependent on the Lord. Priyaha, who is dear. Rasagya, who accepts the essence of life. Shruta, education. Dhana, wealth. Kula, aristocracy. Karmanam, and of fruitive activities. Madaihi, by pride. Ye, all those who. Vidadhati, perform. Papam, disgrace. Akinchaneshu, without material possessions. Satsu, unto the devotees. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes very dear to those devotees who have no material possessions but are fully happy in possessing the devotional service of the Lord. Indeed, the Lord relishes the devotional activities of such devotees. Those who are puffed up with material education, wealth, aristocracy, and fruitive activities are very proud of possessing material things. And they often deride the devotees. Even if such people offer the Lord worship, the Lord never accepts them. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is dependent on His pure devotees. He does not even accept the offerings of those who are not devotees. A pure devotee is one who feels he does not possess anything material. A devotee is always happy in possessing the devotional service of the Lord. Devotees may sometimes appear materially poor, but because they are spiritually advanced and enriched, they are most dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such devotees are free from attachment to family, society, friendship, children, and so on. They abandon affection for all these material possessions and are always happy in possessing the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. The Supreme Personality of Godhead understands the position of His devotee. If a person derides a pure devotee, he is never recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, the Supreme Lord never excuses one who offends a pure devotee. There are many examples of this in history. A great mystic yogi, Durvasa Muni, offended the great devotee Ambarisha Maharaj. The great sage Durvasa was to be chastised by the Sudarshan Chakra of the Lord. Even though the great mystic directly approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was never excused. Those on the path of liberation should be very careful not to offend a pure devotee. ಓಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನ ತಿಮಿರಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಂಜನ ಶಲಾಕಾಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರ್ ಉನ್ಮಿಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ. ಶ್ರೀ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮನೋಭೀಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪ ಕದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂತಿಕಂ. ವಾಂಛಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯ ಏವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. It is considered that when a pure devotee speaks, one should hear it with great attention, because the pure devotee expresses the deep things that are hidden within their hearts. Well, pure devotees express what's deep, hidden deeply in their hearts. Just like we don't give people our social security number, the people we don't know, because that's the deepest thing in our heart, but you get the idea. We don't tell them secrets about, you know, the code for my safe or something. Except once there is some trust or we meet some qualified person, then we begin to reveal things from way inside. All the nice things, all the dark things. In a similar principle, but not exactly the same, the pure devotees don't speak unless the audience is qualified. Now, the qualification of the audience, according to Rupa Goswami, is that there is eagerness to hear. That's the only qualification. Because if there is any other qualification to be looked at, then the pure devotee doesn't have to speak at all, because the audience generally doesn't have certain qualifications. In fact, it is by the speech of the pure devotee that the audience becomes qualified. So wherever there is eagerness, that's the starting point of being qualified to hear. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur narrates a story. I like the story, so I repeat it again and again. There was a village in which there was a real maha speculator, and his name was Dada Thakur. And Dada Thakur would mislead people, and they were all foolish followers. So one person who was a little intelligent, he looked at this crowd and said, "My gosh, they need help. I should invite a saintly person who can speak properly and set right this whole confusion." So he said to Dada Thakur, "I'm going to invite a saintly person." So all of Dada Thakur's followers and Dada Thakur became a little concerned. What to do? What if this person comes and debates with you? Dada Thakur said, "Don't worry, don't worry. I will speak in chaste Sanskrit with such alacrity that whoever, so-called sadhu, will have to return defeated." "Oh yes, yes, very good, very good." They started massaging his shoulders and feeling, "Yeah, we have a great leader." So the date for the debate was set, the place was set, and Dada Thakur sat on a high seat with all his followers behind him, massaging his neck and back and arms as he sat. And the saintly person arrived at the scene. And as soon as he arrived, he asked Dada Thakur, "Kastvam?" Which means, it's a Sanskrit word, and I'll explain. He said, "Kastvam." So Dada Thakur had to return something in Sanskrit. So he says, ಕಸ್ತ್ವಂ ಘಸ್ತ್ವಂ ಘಸ್ತ್ವಂ ಧಸ್ತ್ವಂ ಧಸ್ತ್ವಂ ನ್ಯಸ್ತ್ವಂ ಜಸ್ತ್ವಂ. ಸೊ ಸೇಂಟಿ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಟರ್ನ್ ಅರೌಂಡ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವಾಕ್ಡ್ ಅವೇ. And Dada Thakur and his followers became so excited. Wow, this is so good. We've defeated him. You're so amazing. You've spoken such wonderful words in Sanskrit. So it's Srila Bhaktisiddhanta describes that as soon as a fool speaks, he reveals his foolishness. Therefore it is said that in front of saintly people, we don't speak. If you see in South India, the Sri Vaishnavas particularly, they stand like this in front of the Acharya, right? Not to speak. Because if you speak, suddenly we expose all our foolishness. Better not to speak. So when he spoke, finished. So Bhaktisiddhanta describes that the saintly person asked the question, Kastvam. In Sanskrit it means, who are you? And instead of answering, who are you, which the right answer is, Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayor Dasa Dasanudas, I'm the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, the maintainer of the gopis. He used all these fancy words that didn't mean much. So the saintly person thought, what a fool, what is the use of speaking with him? And went away. Of course, when I said this story, someone came and told me, don't you think it's the business of the saintly person to actually help someone? And we got into this whole argument. But Bhaktisiddhanta narrates that a real sage thought, what's the use? What's the use of speaking to him? It's another, once a saintly person came to a village and everyone gathered to hear him. And he asked, how many of you believe in God? Nobody raised their hands. So he said, oh, what's the use of speaking? And he went away. So they said, no, we'd like you to come. So they invited him one more time. This time they all said, but whenever he asks this question, we should all raise our hands. So he came back and he said, how many of you believe in God? They all raised their hands. He said, then what's the use of speaking? And he went away. Then they said, no, this is not okay. We need to somehow get him to speak. So they decided, next time he asks, we'll do something. So he came back and said, how many of you believe in God? So half the crowd raised their hands and half the crowd did not raise their hand. He said, very nice. Those of you who believe in God can speak to those who don't believe in God. What is the need for me to speak? And he went away. The meaning is that it is rare that a pure devotee will throw out pearls. As they say, do not throw pearls before swines. It doesn't come. It comes when there is that eagerness, which is the catalyst for a saint to speak. And here when Narada is speaking, Sri Narada Muni is speaking to such a eager crowd, the Prachetas, he is revealing the intimate features of Krishna's reciprocity. It is one thing to say he is God, he is the all-pervasive, almighty, all-powerful. Just by his thought, the whole, all the energies move. Parasya shaktir vividhaiva shruyate swabhaviki jnana balakriyacha. This is fantastic. But the inner feelings of Krishna, that he gets sold out to his devotees, who are completely dependent on him, he becomes dependent on them. This is very intimate things. And that's what Narada Muni is revealing. So it's very special. It's very, very, it's of the highest, finest quality of realities, of truth. So the feature, the quality of the Lord is, he says, na bhajati ku manishinam. Manishina means a thoughtful person. Kumanishi, whenever you add ku in front of a word, it gives the opposite meaning. Except kumara. Although there is meaning for it. But kumanishina, kusanga means bad association. So kumanishina means those whose hearts are dirty, those minds are not thoughtful. Not thoughtful about the real things in life. So even if they offer worship, ijjam, he says na bhajati, he doesn't accept it. So what Krishna looks for is not the the ritual. He does not look at just the expressions of things, but he looks at the feelings, the inner disposition of the heart. That's what moves Krishna. And those persons who can move Krishna are those who are called adhana, atmadhana priyaha. Adhana means materially impoverished. And atmadhana means wealthy, spiritually wealthy. Materially may not be wealthy, but spiritually very wealthy. Atmadhana. Priyaha. Such persons are very dear to Krishna. Rasagya means one who know the essence of things. Who are able to get into, extract and share the essence of things. The essence of everything is Krishna. One who have that connection with Krishna. The kumanishina are those persons who are shruta dhana kula karmana madairye. Queen Kunti also offers similar explanation. Right? That those who become mad or proud of their possessions, such as shruta, education. I am very educated, I know everything. Or dhana, wealth, kula, great lineage, karmanam, from their activities, fruit of activities, they gain name and fame and all of that, and they become proud of it. Such persons, madairye, they're actually a disgrace, Narada Muni says. Vidadhati papam. They're a disgrace. Krishna doesn't even look at them. So there are persons who are very wealthy and they do such a big show off. They show off their wealth in front of Krishna. Krishna doesn't look at them. So here the word akinchana is used, without material possessions. Now this is literally true and also figuratively akinchana. So literally akinchana means those who don't have anything, like materially impoverished. They do not have wealth. Generally, wealth by its nature, although it is Lakshmi Devi, whenever wealth is collected separate from Narayana, that wealth has a tendency to contaminate the person. The contamination that comes from wealth that is not connected to Narayana is at least twofold. One is pride. And the second is attachment. And these two are, we know, like the formidable enemies of the conditioned soul. So wealth must always be used in Narayana's service. So akinchana are those that don't care for wealth. That their purpose in life is not to accumulate wealth. So the first thing Lord Chaitanya says, na dhanam. That's the first word that's used, na dhanam. Because when there is dhana, wealth, everything else comes with it. Janam, Sundarim, Kavitam, Jagadisha, etc. Because money has the power to buy everything except Krishna. Everything else can be bought. Although people say, to give us a lesson, money can buy medicines, but it cannot buy health. Money can buy people, but not love, or things like that. But point is, money has such a power that people feel that they can capture the whole world. So, Akinchana are those who don't care for that wealth. They go for the real wealth, atmadhana, spiritual wealth. So there are many such devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who are atmadhanis. Kolavecha Sridhar, Sudama Brahmana, Jagannath Das Babaji, many such personalities. Then there are the other type of akinchanas who are materially very wealthy, but they don't see the wealth as their possession. And they are also very great akinchanas. Maharaj Yudhisthira, Parikshit Maharaj, Priyavrata Maharaj coming up, or Dhruva Maharaj, or Bali Maharaj, or many examples, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, etc. King Prataparudra, Akinchana. Very wealthy, materially speaking, but also spiritually very wealthy. Now people usually like this one. Oh, this is nice. Materially wealthy and spiritually wealthy. Unless one is manishinam, pure in heart, one doesn't know how to manage these two wealths. In fact, they do work against each other. So those who are materially very prosperous, it's not very easy to be spiritually prosperous. Especially if the material prosperity came first. In all these cases, spiritual prosperity comes first. Maharaj Parikshit, Yudhishthira Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj. Of course, Dhruva was already born as a prince, yet his spiritual maturity came first, etc. Then when material prosperity comes, it is used properly. It is seen properly. The other way around is this not so easy. For example, when King Rahugana was being carried on the palanquin by Jadabharat, he became proud of his position as a king and he chastised Jadabharat. And until then, Jadabharat had never spoken. In his entire life, he had not spoken. And his father tried many things to get him to become brahmanically trained, but he just would not cooperate. He would do things completely in reverse. First you had to brush your teeth and then go for a bath, or evacuate and then go for a bath. He would take a bath and then evacuate. Or you have to eat and then wash your mouth. He would wash his mouth, then eat and just be like that. He was asked to carry a pot of oil like this. After the oil was filled, he would turn it upside down and walk for all the oil spilled like that. He intentionally doing all of this. So finally they said, "Whoa, this fellow is useless." They let him go. And he had not spoken a word. In fact, it is described that when the bhaktas or the followers of goddess Kali, they had captured him. I'm fast forwarding the story. They captured him and they were ready to chop his head off as an offering to Kali Devi. He did not protest. It was not that he was dull, he just did not protest. Like not even, "Oh, are you sure? I'm a pure devotee, let me tell you Bhagavatam and the way you..." Nothing, just did not protest. But as soon as King Rahugana said something to him, chastised him, he turned around and blasted him. Of course, in a very polished way, blasted him. He said, "Who are you chastising? The body or the soul? Because the body is dead anyway, so what are you chastising? And the soul doesn't get touched by all this." And Rahugana had a dizzy, was like, "Whoa, who are you?" And he helped him and removed his pride. That's how you become akinchana. Akinchana is when the pride is removed or false prestige is removed. Until then, of course, pride and false prestige go together. Pride means a wrong sense of identity, and false prestige means because of that false identity, I assign value to something that doesn't have value. This is false prestige. I am born in India, I'm very great. That's a sign of value to it. That as being born in India is great. Or I have so much money, and this is my money. I am assigning value to it. Of course, as Kali Yuga is progressing, the idea of wealth is completely changing. At least previously, people would be proud that they have gold. That's why they are, you know, at least they can be proud of it. Now I have a lot of plastic cards. What's there to be proud of it? No one sees their money. It's all numbers that you see on the screen. That's what we think, that's our money. And they're numbers that change. Actually, no one owns wealth. Anyway, but we assign value to this credit card or plastic card that says, my name is there. And also says, expires. But we don't see that one. So many times on the phone they ask you, what's your card number, sir? When is your expiry? Like, so we assign value to things. That's false prestige. So to become akinchana means to become free of that. These two things. Become free of pride and the false prestige. To assign value to things that actually have no value separate from Krishna. Krishna likes that feature. Krishna does not like to be a pati, a husband who shared. He likes to be the exclusive husband. For that matter, any husband likes to be the exclusive husband. So the chastity is, Krishna is my only master. I don't have multiple masters. I don't have a secular idea of life. A secular idea is little for Krishna, little for me. Little for Krishna, little for me. Little for Krishna, sometimes a lot for me. And when it is festival, a lot for Krishna, little for me. But for me is still happening. This is called a secular idea of religion or secular idea of so-called spirituality. And Krishna doesn't like that. Krishna likes exclusivity. That only he. And everything is for him. He is the only master. He is the only object of our love and worship. That's what he likes. So when we say Krishna, of course it means Krishna's devotees also. Don't see that exclusively as Krishna only. But everything is centered around Krishna. That is very dear to him. And then he gives himself to such a devotee. I'll end with this. Before the Mahabharata war began, both Arjuna and Duryodhana went to meet Krishna. Duryodhana wanted Krishna's armies to be on his side. And Arjuna had gone to ask Krishna to be on his side. So as the pastime goes, I'm skipping some details. Krishna asked Arjuna first. Because both came at the same time, Duryodhana went and sat by Krishna's head, and Arjuna sat by Krishna's feet. And Duryodhana thought that as soon as Krishna opens his eyes, he'll see me first, so he'll ask me first. But Krishna said, when I opened my eyes, I saw Arjuna first. So I should ask him first. So Duryodhana was scared, insecure. What if he asked the entire armies? And I'll only be left with Krishna, one person, what can I do with? So Arjuna said, my dear Krishna, Keshava, I just want you to be on my side. So Krishna said, you know, if I'm on your side, I've always said I'm not going to fight this war. So I'm not going to pick up any weapons. I will not fight. Is that all right for you? I don't care whether you fight or not. None of my armies will be there. I don't care. All right. Duryodhana, what do you want? Perfect. I want all your armies. Yes, they are yours. Both went back happy because they got what they were looking for. What Duryodhana couldn't understand, that just Krishna's presence on the other side negates and nullifies, doesn't matter who, how many are on this side. Arjuna knew their essence, rasagya. In all circumstances, their choice is always the essence that Krishna is present. So in our life, when the choices are like that, oh, this or this, or that or this. The rasagya feature is of a devotee is to choose Krishna. Even if it seems so rational that the other choice makes sense. Do you want money or do you want service for Krishna? If such a service for Krishna, please. Because when Krishna's presence is there, everything else is there. That's the one of the final verses of Bhagavad Gita. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Partha Dhanurdharaha. At such a place, you have Shri, Vijaya, Dhruva, what is that? Well, opulence, victory, morality, and there's one more. Four of them. Opulence, victory, morality, and something. Anyway, I forget. But Dhruva, Nitir, Matir, Mama. These three. I think there's a fourth. Can't remember. But anyway, get the idea. If Krishna is present, everything else is there. Everything else is there, but Krishna is not there, it has no value. Many zeros, how many ever zeros, has no value, unless there's a one before it. And that's what Narada Muni's extraordinary power. Thank you. So, this by this verse, Narada Muni is giving us the secret of how to steal Krishna's heart, how to capture his heart. And all that is required is Atma Dhana. That if we focus on making our heart wealthy, Krishna is attracted. Okay, so thoughts, questions? That was fast. Yeah, I didn't cover that. Thank you.
I was wondering, sometimes we have an experience where, let's say we have a misgiving about a devotee, and we know it's wrong. We know it's coming from the bodily concept of life, etc. We still can't help ourselves from feeling that. And it's just a block, even though we know we're in the wrong position. So similarly, when we have some of these opulences, if we perceive ourselves having some of these opulences, Shruta, Dana, Kula, Karmana, and we know it's wrong, we know we're getting problems, still we can't help ourselves from feeling that way. And therefore the tendency to commit offense is still very prominent.
Right.
So I was wondering, how does one deal with that situation? I know this is not right, these feelings are there, I know there's going to be a strong tendency for offense, and I'm living in a society of devotees. So how do we deal with this? It seems like a very, almost could be like a very dangerous situation.
One has to very deeply pray to one's spiritual master and Krishna to give one the alertness or the awareness that as soon as that becomes an issue in any exchange, relationship, that they can correct, that they have the strength to correct it. Because the feature of material energy is that one cannot overcome on their own. One can just become aware of it, but cannot overcome it. That tendency, the strength to overcome is Krishna's mercy. So, you know, of course, one solution is to not have a relationship with anyone, not be with the devotees. To just be far away and say, I'm impure, I don't know how to be there. That's one, and that's not healthy. The other is, I don't care, we'll see. Anyway, I'm taking a bath, taking a shower, I'll become clean one day. It won't work like that. One is completely dependent on my dear Krishna. Without your help, how can I move forward? when I know that this is there in my heart, I want to move forward, but I find myself so helpless. When you've put me in the middle of such wonderful devotees, I may not see them as wonderful because I'm struggling. Although they may be fantastic, it's because of my vision that I see things that are not perfect, and I think, what association? But this is what, if I deserved better association, surely you would make that. But this is what you've given me. Means this is the best for me. There is something to learn for me in this. And I'm unfortunate that I can't go beyond this. Personally, for me, Sikshashtaka, second verse, has helped my chanting a lot. Every time I have to think, I have no attraction. What is this? I can't even go to Trinadapi Sunichana. For me, that's a little far-fetched. I get inspired by Cheto Darpanama. Yes, I know that is true, but I have no attraction. What to do? There are days when we know it's tough, but the only strength is, all right, even if I can't put my feelings into it, if I just do it to demonstrate to Krishna that, yes, I'm interested in your mercy, something will happen from it. That's the only, solace. So that prayer is the only way to feel, to go move beyond. We can try other things. It will not work. What's that? You mantra?
I'm going to ask something related to that. Basically, the question was about how, because yesterday we were hearing how one who doesn't feel sheltered, he has a tendency to act independently.
Yeah.
And then today, the word akinchaneshu is used in the verse. And so, my question is basically going to be, how does one, you know, approach a feeling of, how does one, you know, go about giving up his material shelters and approach a feeling of feeling actually dependent on Krishna and his devotees, without making it a sentimental affair?
One has to very humbly, menially serve somebody who's like that. It will not come with, I need to become detached. One will not become detached. One has to work like a, don't take the word in a wrong sense, but take the spirit of it, rasagya here for the moment, slave of a pure devotee. Unless one serves a devotee like that, one cannot become pure. Mahiyasam pad raja abhisheka nishkinchananam na vrinita yavat. That's the only solution. Because in the verse prior to that, Prahlad Maharaj says that they're tied very tightly by the rope of material laws of nature. Tepisya tantram urudam nibaddha. That's the attachment. One cannot overcome it. So the first thing to do in life is find a pure devotee and completely submit at their feet. If you allow me, I'll give you a cultural point. In that verse, one should not be a mother, a guru, a father, a king, one who cannot deliver his dependents. If you see culturally, the Vedic system, every person is a teacher. And they have a very specific role. Actually, they're all working for one goal. The parents perform Garbhadhana Samskara properly, and they have a child or children. Then the mother and father, they're meant to train the children in a particular manner. In it seems like it's tradition, ritual, whatever, but actually there's only one thing that's happening, and I'll say what it is. Then the children are sent to school, and in school they meet a teacher, guru, and that person will train them in only one thing. And they're all the same things. And when they're ready, and they meet a spiritual master, the fire ignites. The fire of bhakti ignites perfectly. Because the parents, the teachers, the elders in the community, they're all doing only one thing, preparing the child or children to meet the guru. So that when they meet the guru, there is no wastage of time. Look at our situations. We didn't have that. So it takes the guru to play the role of mother, father, teacher, village elder, all of that. Hopefully that someday we can have that real spark of bhakti awaken in us. So before that, it's all multiple roles to play. It's tough. Because when the child throws tantrums, does that, the parents already have taken care of all of that behavior. But the modern day guru has multiple roles to play. I mean, look at Prabhupada's life, what all he did. Look at the persons following Srila Prabhupada, how they managed. So that's the readiness to become a... Until then, it's not possible. So from childhood or even before, everything is centered around the unique opportunity to meet a pure person, saintly person. But we don't have that cultural setting, so it's unfortunate. So it takes many years. Okay, Jitendra Prabhu, and then...
It was Sutta Kirti's book. He said that Srila Prabhupada presented himself as your best friend, your next door neighbor, you know, all these different types, and that's why he was able to communicate so well. And then I think I heard Srila Prabhupada say that to come to the point of surrendering one's will to some other person is very rare. And it's hardly, you know, people go so far, but they won't go that far. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Before you, can I go back to yesterday's purport? That verse, Ainanda Tanuja Kim Karo. That's the feature, or that's the essence of the prayer for the question you were asking. Because before that is, I'm unfortunate, I have no taste, but to move to, please place me, take me as beyond this, situate me in as, of course, I'm not doing justice, because given the time, not doing justice to the verse, but that prayer is a very heart-strengthening verse. Yeah, okay, anything from this side? Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.